The future of reporting now.
This is Concordia News Radio.
Good morning. It's currently 4 degrees at the Loyola campus of Concordia University. I'm Delphine Belzile. Here are today's headlines. Air Canada CEO crashes into language controversy. Lead problems in schools raise concerns, and small businesses worry about the future. The PQ have come out condemning Mike Rousseau from Air Canada of disrespecting Francophones in Quebec. They say it's indicative of a broader issue that keeps marginalizing the French language despite Law 101. Here is Denis Smulevich with more.
Rousseau has spent 14 years not learning French as director of Air Canada. Pascal Berube from the PQ called it a sad reminder that it's possible to live in Montreal without being interested in Quebec culture. A headquarters in Montreal, a company financed by the Canadian government, which must submit to French language laws, and that's the answer we get. A company that is going to siphon another $6 billion from public funds. For a guy like Mike Rousseau, that's what English privilege is in Quebec. He added that it sends the message to newcomers in Quebec that they can make their life in English here. Paul Saint-Pierre Plamondon, the chef of the PQ, added that Anglophones simply do not care enough. What it is Francophones that speak English and Anglophones that couldn't care less about Francophones who want to live a life in French, who want their language to survive. I lived it myself as an air host for Air Canada. Plamondon also added that he wanted a Law 101 to be reinforced on all businesses in Quebec and wanted Rousseau to speak French. He said this incident is indicative of a larger issue.
On peut se dire oui.
We can say yes and give something else to our kids. That what French Canadians have been living through, that is derision and a minority status, that is always treated like an anomaly in a Canada that exists in a long tradition of British colonialism. Rouba Gazal from Québec Solidaire has called for Rousseau to step down. Berube used this opportunity to reiterate what he considers the importance of both Law 101 and 96, which seeks to curb the prevalence of English in Montreal. Denis Smulevich for Concordia News.
This just in, Mike Rousseau is apologizing for his remarks. He says he did not intend to insult the Francophone community and he plans to improve on his French. Halloween almost turned into a nightmare for a family in Longueuil. A child from Greenfield Park bit into his Halloween candy bar and found a razor blade. An investigation is going on by the police department of Longueuil. The police is asking parents to go over their child's Halloween candies. Any suspicious inquiries must be reported to the police. No arrest has been made. It is not the first time we hear such a story after Halloween. Hopefully, no one has been hurt. Valérie Plante, mayor candidate of Projet Montréal, announced this morning measures to help elderly people. Her reporter Marie-Catherine Goudreau is in Pointe-aux-Trembles right now. So Marie-Catherine, what did Valérie Plante say regarding seniors?
So Valérie Plante was with the 73-year-old Quebec actress Marie-Hickel to make this announcement today near a senior house. Projet Montréal wants to reserve 15% of affordable housing for people over 65 years old. This represents 9,000 long-term homes in Montreal that would be reserved for seniors. They want to encourage mixed housing in a building, for example. Here's Valérie Plante from Projet Montréal.
Ensure that whoever you are, whatever stage of your life, you can stay in the city. And today we're talking especially about measures to support our elders to stay in their home and to have access to affordable housing.
And how exactly will elderly people benefit from this measure?
So property tax can make the housing cost too high for seniors. They don't have a fixed revenue, but the taxes are always rising. This is why Valérie Plante wants to put in place a program to report property taxes.
And what other measures Projet Montréal wants to put in place for elderly people?
The party also wants to create secure environments around senior homes. So like they did secure environments around schools, they want to design streets and rest areas adapted to the life of seniors. Projet Montréal also targets free public transport for people over 65 years old if they are elected.
Thank you, Marie-Catherine. Today at 3 p.m., Verdun residents plan to take to the streets to protest gentrification. Their dissatisfaction is mainly targeted at Mathieu Gauthier, a real estate consultant who they describe as a gentrifier. Housing expert questioned the effectiveness of the protests. Mzwandi Leponkana has more.
Julien Dagno, a spokesperson for the protest, said the protest against gentrification is of utmost importance. He mentioned a recent UBS survey that said Montreal is one of the worst North American cities when it comes to gentrification.
The worst neighbor in all Montreal is Verdun, to the west. So it's a place where the rent increase are the worst.
Together with the campaign of the municipal candidate, Rosalie Belanger-Roux, he is joining the protest outside the office of Mathieu Gauthier, a prominent real estate consultant who they say is gentrifying the neighborhood.
The main slogan is fighting against rent eviction, and the main demand is putting pressure on the municipal administration in Verdun and in Montreal.
Housing expert Eric Schrag doubts the effectiveness of the protest, saying that they need larger social movements behind them to really bring about change.
So I think local protests in and of themselves tend to be isolated and maybe not have a huge impact, particularly in a situation where in our society private property rules.
He went on to say that policy shifts and allocating land for social housing is the best solution to the crisis. However, this also comes with challenges.
The problem is that there's no money coming from other levels of government to actually allow the city to do it, even if they had the land.
Though Eric is skeptical about the effectiveness of the protest, he thinks the public support could be helpful in at least shifting people's general opinions about gentrification and gaining public support for the cause. Mzwanda Leponkana in NDG for Concordia News.
Almost 2,000 students were deprived of school transportation this morning on the south shore of Montreal as bus drivers were protesting for better salaries. Many elementary and high schools were affected by the strike this morning. Bus drivers were striking from 6 a.m., asking for higher salaries and augmentation. From now on, the highest increase they get is less than 1% of their current salary. School transportation industry's employees plan to strike until they get satisfying negotiations with their employers. Parents might be confronted with further deprivation in school transportation this week. Lead levels in schools are raising concerns. According to the chemist, the portable testing kits are not reliable enough. A false negative is as bad as a positive. Our reporter Shruti Mata has the full story for us.
A handheld lead testing device may not be the authentic source for testing lead levels, according to chemists. The Chemists' Order of Quebec has raised concerns over the reliability of such portable testing devices, especially in schools. In his words, president of a chemists' organization, Michel Alseye, says,
"Our suspicions were confirmed where it was determined that this portable instrument cannot read lead, total lead at low levels in order to decide or take any actions, whether it is to change or not that faucet number one or number two or number three."
The organization urges the government to conduct accredited laboratory tests. On the other hand, multiple school boards haven't reported any problems with lead in their water. They say that the regular tests conducted over the years haven't shown a spike in the lead content. Michael Cohen, spokesperson of English Montreal School Board, says that they are waiting for the government to officiate any new tests, if required.
Based on our information, we hadn't had any issues with lead in the water. In fact, one of the things we did several years ago is we switched every single water fountain in every building that we own.
Both the chemist organization and school boards are awaiting a say from the government to lead or not to lead any new full-fledged tests. This is Shruti Mata, Concordia News.
The pandemic's hold remains steady on small and medium businesses. Many of the owners are not confident about the future of their businesses, according to a survey released today. Our reporter Sarah Eldaba is here to speak with us about this. So, Sarah, why are they not optimistic?
Well, the increasing costs of doing business, supply chain challenges, labor shortages, and inflation are the reasons with the highest number of responses. Simon Gaudreau, who is with the Canadian Federation of Independent Businesses, says that businesses still have a long way to go.
Economic commentators are saying right now that, oh, it's a full recovery. We're back, almost back to normal. When you look at the numbers for small businesses in the country, we're far from back to normal.
We have heard that many businesses have done better in spite of the pandemic. How do they factor in?
It is true that not all small and medium businesses are suffering. Catherine Legarre, who runs a clothing alteration business, says that the pandemic has made others more conscious about wasting clothes, which has worked in her business's favor.
We consume a lot, and I think for me, for my business, I think it's good because you can alter whatever you already have.
What is being done by the government to help them?
The City of Montreal is offering the Emergency Assistance to Small and Medium Businesses benefit, which allows businesses to loan up to $50,000 at a reduced interest rate. However, the Government of Canada has reduced the amount of businesses that are eligible for certain benefits. Godoy, whose organization was behind the survey, says that the Canadian government should allow more businesses to be eligible.
You're doing all you can, but you're still losing 35%, and the government is telling you, well, that's good enough. You should probably be able to get by. Well, actually, for many businesses, that's not the case. At 35%, you're still in deep financial trouble. So
now businesses are only eligible if they have lost 50% of their revenue. Or 50% or more, rather. But Gaudreau says that this amount should be reduced to as low as 10%.
Thank you, Sarah. The Metropolitan Regional Transport Authority was refused $57 billion from the Quebec government to develop more public transport projects. The MRTA has the mandate to plan and organize public transport in Montreal. It released a list of multiple projects to improve mobility in the city. However, to access funding, Quebec is asking the MRTA to clarify its financial plan and identify priority projects. Asylum seekers now more than ever find themselves with uncertain fates and possible deportations from Canada. Essential workers who were promised permanent residency through the Guardian Angels program in recognition of their work during the pandemic are now being disposed of. Lola Calder spoke with Claire Launay, vice-president of Québec C'est nous aussi, on the issue and the underlying problems of immigration in Canada.
It's been about 15 years that immigration is overwhelmingly temporary. The Canadian government relies a lot on temporary workers, but without giving them a chance to stay for a while. So people just stay in very precarious situations at work with very little ways to improve their life conditions. And that's the way the system is built. It's not built to stay permanently.
Can you tell me a little bit about the Guardian Angel program and Quebec's pushback on such?
At the end of 2020, the federal government put forward sort of like a first version of what that program would look like to allow asylum seekers who worked in essential services to have access to permanent residency. But Quebec, the government of Quebec, made it as restricted as possible. In the end, it was only the people who had been in direct contact with COVID-infected patients that could access that program.
And how many asylum seekers are accepted on a yearly basis?
It's about half the asylum seekers applications that are actually accepted for refugee status.
So how does the government view those who are granted refugee status?
Canada wants to use cheap labor from southern countries, so usually non-white countries, and then discard them as fast as possible, not provide them a way for permanent residency. Whereas people from, for example, the United States or Western Europe tend to have more ways to access permanent residency.
Would you perhaps then say that this alludes to a wider problem of systemic racism?
Oh, absolutely. There's actually been an independent study, I think, last month that came out, where some people looked at the way Immigration, Refugee and Citizenship Canada works, and they found that employees themselves displayed systemic racism in the way that they process the files in the first place.
That was Lola Calder speaking with Claire Launay. Turning to sports, the Packers star quarterback test positive for COVID-19 after appearing to break protocol for months. Can the Habs actually win two games in a row? And CF Montreal won a crucial game last night. Here's Kendra Sharp with all your sports news.
It's an own goal. Dynamo need to get this cleared. It's rolled in.
In the world of soccer, CF Montreal kept playoff hopes alive last night, beating the Houston Dynamos 2-0 in a chilly home game. The win comes after a strong second-half push for the team. The first goal and second goals were an hour into the game. After barely being staved off by the Dynamos, the first goal rolled right into the net. It was followed closely by a second goal just 4 minutes later. They'll now have to beat Orlando in a must-win game this Sunday to make it through to the playoffs. Let's go, Montreal.
David, he drops it off for Draisaitl, shoots, scores!
That was the call on Sportsnet last night as the Edmonton Oilers beat the Nashville Predators 5-2. Leon Draisaitl scored three of those goals, making him the lead scorer in the National Hockey League right now. After beating the Red Wings on Tuesday, the Habs are looking to win their second game in a row for the first time this season. They'll be facing off against the New York Islanders at the Bell Center tonight at 7 p.m. You'll want to keep an eye on Nick Suzuki, who bounced back in Tuesday's game. Can he help finally get the team to two wins in a row?
I'm a stickler. I'm a jerk. I'm that old, angry man, if you can believe that, at 27 for this team.
That was Fred VanVleet after he led the Toronto Raptors to their fifth straight victory last night, beating the Washington Wizards. Believe it or not, 27-year-old VanVleet is a senior on the team, but that didn't stop him from getting 33 points in last night's game. And finally, quarterback Aaron Rodgers has tested positive for COVID-19, shocking many fans. Rodgers says he was immunized back in August, but never clearly said he was vaccinated. Since then, he appears to have often slacked on NFL safety protocols. Turns out, Rodgers was actually unvaccinated, raising questions about rules for unvaccinated players in the league. And that's all for your sports news, folks.
Thanks, Kendra. That was Kendra Sharp with sports. Jesse Bradford has just broken a Rubik's Cube Guinness World Record. The 17-year-old teenager from Alberta has not only solved 300 Rubik's Cubes, but he has done so while riding a unicycle. He has kept his balance for 2 hours and 13 minutes solving the puzzles. The last record was held by an American in 2018 who solved 250 Rubik's Cubes on his unicycle. In Hearts today, Ava's latest album is just around the corner, major wins for Canadian artists at the Addis Gala, and more information on the deadly shooting of a cinematographer on the set of Rust. Our reporter Melina Levesque has those stories for us.
Was ABBA's Don't Shut Me Down. You'll be hearing that one and many more tunes on their album Voyage being released tomorrow. Among them, a Christmas song is to be expected. 40 years after their last album, the Swedish pop quartet is blessing fans with an early holiday treat. Ed Sheeran is back on track to perform on SNL this weekend. The singer-songwriter was originally scheduled to be a musical guest on the show in October. He announced on October 24th that he tested positive for COVID-19 and was in isolation. Sheeran wrote in an Instagram post that he has completed his quarantine and is looking forward to hitting the New York stage.
You know your song saved my life. I don't see.
U2 has returned to the music scene with their first new track in almost 3 years. Their new song, Your Song Saved My Life, is part of the soundtrack for the upcoming animated film Sing 2. You can catch Bono as an introverted rock star lion when the film hits theaters on December 22nd. Klofel Geig has added 4 new Félix Awards to his prize pool. The Canadian singer-songwriter from Quebec has wiped the Addis Gala stage clean this week. So far, the musician and her team has taken home 16 trophies since Monday for her album Notre Dame des Sept Douleurs. With the Sunday gala fast approaching, who knows if they'll come home with a few more. Among the winning artists, Charlotte Cardin also went home with 3 trophies. Romance rumors about Kim Kardashian and Pete Davidson are flying. The pair were spotted together again in New York City last night. This marks the second night in a row that the two have been on what appears to have been a date. Paparazzi were gathered outside the New York hotspot restaurant Zero Hub, ready to snap away at the rumored couple.
Magic mirror on the wall. Who is the fairest one of all?
Your favorite Disney evil queen is coming to life on the silver screen. Gal Gadot is in final negotiations to play the evil queen in Disney's live-action adaptation of Snow White. Gadot will star along West Side Story's Rachel Zegler, who was cast as Snow White earlier in June. While Gadot may be best known as Wonder Woman, her next role is on track to make her the fairest of them all. We have an update on the deadly shooting of cinematographer Helena Hutchins. A lawyer for the armorer in charge of weapons used on the Rust movie set suggested that someone may have intentionally put live rounds into the gun that injured the film's director, Joel Souza, and killed director of photography Helena Hutchins. Jason Bowles has said that the armorer removed ammunition from the box that she believed only contained fake rounds, incapable of hurting anyone. He believes that someone may have placed real bullets that mimic the look of fake ones. A spokesperson for producers of Rust Movie Productions has yet to comment on Bowles' remarks.
Thank you, Melina. It's 4 degrees and a little cloudy right now. Heading into the weekend, we expect mainly sunny days with cloudy periods on Saturday and Sunday. Highest temperatures won't exceed 11 degrees, and lows might reach 0 degrees. Stay warm, mornings are getting colder. Looking ahead to next week, Montreal will remain cloudy with expected rainfalls on Friday and Sunday. That's your news to 11:30. Thanks for listening. For Concordia News, I'm Delphine Bezos.